The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman, Bears veteran Patrick Manley, and more of your favorite Bears players. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
So happy to have you with us here from the Chicago Bears Network Radio Studios at Halas Hall. Zach Zaidman, along with the longest tenured Bear in the history of the Chicago Bears organization, Patrick Manley, is along and pleased to be joined by the special guest for the entire hour. And I don't know if that's enough for this guy. I mean, we're locking him into a box here, talking about the special teams ace, the standout, Blake Costanzo, who can also play linebacker very well. But right now there's some guys that you don't want to see get hurt. So if we don't see a linebacker, that means that it's a relatively healthy week, right?
No doubt.
All right, let's get down to business here, because special teams is such a key part of what the Bears do. It was last week. I thought you guys did a terrific job after that first play, kind of neutralizing the game. That allowed the Bears to overcome kind of the turnover differential in that game and pick up a victory.
Yeah, like I said, we weren't happy about the first play, but things happen through the course of the season and through the course of a game. And, you know, we came back with Devin's long return after that. So that's a testament to the guys we have. And throughout the rest of the game, I thought we played pretty well and gave our offense some good field position. So, you know, it was kind of cool to go. We got to go through things and during the course of the season. I'm glad it happened now and it didn't hurt us. And, you know, like I said, we played a great rest of the game. And Devin, honestly, was he was awesome. I think he's back.
Devin was awesome, but, you know, we watched the tape earlier in the week, and the blocking was awesome. I think you had a bunch of knockdowns, you had a bunch of key blocks, but the blocking up front is key. If Devin can get hot like he is, and then we get the blocking we have like you guys are doing, I think we're going to have a good year.
You know, I think that opening kickoff by the Vikings may have been the best thing that happened to Devin Hester. He was ticked off that someone else did that in the place he calls home.
Yeah, he doesn't like that. He's a pretty competitive dude, so he got on his horse early, man. We rode him. He broke his own record, right?
Yeah,
249 yards.
Yeah,
or something
basically like averaged 50 yards a kickoff return, and only returned it five times, a new Bears record. And when you consider the Bears have been around since 1920, that is a major deal.
It is. And the other key thing is Joe Anderson got the return. We got the ball to the 34-yard line. That's basically another 40 or 50. I mean, he kicks the ball 6 yards deep normally to Devin, and we get the field position at the 34-yard line to be able to go down and score.
Yeah, for all those people that were wondering, because at the end of last season, I think a lot of people thought maybe Devin Hester's done. He was down because of all the changes that were taking place. He had talked about potentially retiring. And to me, to see the 180, how just the mentality that he has right now, that he wants to prove people wrong. And I was talking to him last week before the game. He said that, you know, people have this thing in their head that I'm done as a player. People just don't kick to me, so you don't get an opportunity to see what I can do.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you go through things in your career sometimes, and you don't have the greatest of years and this, and people start writing you off. But when you're the best that has ever done it, I mean, like I said, he just has an intangible thing where every time he touches the ball, it's crazy. Like, he can score. And I don't know if there's any other guys in the NFL that really have that thing where no matter when he touches it, whether it be an interception, he was on defense, or, you know, he catches a ball on offense, or obviously returns, he just has that thing where it's just a special thing that he has that no one else has.
It's got to be something blocking for him. I mean, you got to get excited also to block for him. You're part of history.
Yeah, for real. I mean, it's awesome. And plus, you got a guy like that, man. We want to block for him. And like you said, Pat said, we got a bunch of guys on our special team squad that are selfless and, you know, lay out their bodies for them, and you need that as well to be successful.
We always talk about the specialists on this show, because obviously when you got Patrick Manley, one of them, Hester's another. It's easy to point out what Robbie Gould does, one of the best in the history of the game, and Adam Podlish does a nice job with the punting too, but we don't spend a lot of time talking about the guys who do the, quote, grunt work. You're one of them. Eric Weems another, but Eric Weems did something the other day that, you know, people at the time when they saw it, you know, they're thinking, what's he doing touching the ball? It's going to cost the Bears. No, it actually turned out that Eric Weems has a Harvard-like degree when it comes to special teams. He was doing the right thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's Joe D right there for you. I mean, Joe D is the biggest stickler for the rules of the NFL that I've ever seen. I mean, we know every possible rule and circumstance there can be. So, you know, I give that to Joe D, and Eric made a hell of a play. And, you know, It was just a good, it was a heads up play by him.
It's fun to watch the crowd. You know, they're moaning and booing and thinking we made a mistake, and we're all laughing on the sideline. Like, he did the right thing.
For people that don't understand the rule, can you, in a very short way, Pat, explain? It's called what, the no consequence?
We call it the no consequence rule. As soon as the as soon as they touch the ball, it's a free ball basically that anybody can, we can touch it, they can touch it. There's no consequence that if I don't know, Blake, you explain it. I'm fumbling over this.
Yeah, so basically, if they touch the ball and they don't down it, they just tip
there we
it.
Go.
We could pick it up. We could run for a touchdown. We could run. We could fumble, lose the ball. No matter what happens on that play, whether it's positive or negative, we either keep the positive play, or if we fumble and the ball goes in the end zone, then the play goes back to where they touched it at first. So there's no consequence to picking the ball up and trying to score with it.
Now, this has been bugging me all week because I've been thinking about this. So say Weems had actually picked up the ball cleanly, right? Starts racing up the field. At the 50-yard line, someone hits him. He fumbles the ball. They pick it up. Can they take it back?
No. You can't. That's why it's no consequence. We get the ball at the original spot where they touched the ball originally.
Boy, this Joe DeCamillis is a genius. And he scored on it, right? His special teams unit in
Dallas. Yeah, in Dallas. They did
sure
score
did,
on
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why you guys knew about it. Now, is this something that you learned early on in camp during the offseason?
Mm-hmm.
Often? So that's pretty good to be able to remember that stuff.
He starts that, you know, I think from day one when he got here, he started just going over little rules like that to make sure we knew them all.
Very impressed. So there's a test that takes place in the special teams meeting rooms.
we get a weekly test, too, before every game as well.
See, there are a lot of different things that take. Like, one of the things that I found out last week that I did not know is during an actual week of game preparation, you guys now have a point in time of the practice where the ones take on the ones, meaning the starters of the offense take on the starters of the defense. You know, in the Lovie Smith era, that did not take place because generally you have a scout team where the backups kind of mimic what the opposing offense or defense would do against the first team for the Bears.
Right. Well, yeah, that's exactly what we do. But then on I think it makes a difference for us because it's ones-on-ones. I mean, it's best competition versus best competition. There is, obviously, we card stuff and go over our opponent, but I think it really – it's shown to help us. And it's something new to us, and I've never seen before, and it's working.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. Jordan Mills was talking about how taking on a Julius Peppers or a Corey Wooten has made him better. So when you take on a guy like Jared Allen, it doesn't scare the daylights out of you because you're facing one of the best in the league on your own team.
It makes
practice.
The games easier.
Yeah, and that's the whole goal that Trestman has tried to create. The other thing that I like is we've got to take the break here. All week long, we've heard a theme from your teammates and your coaches about how the Bears' identity is a clutch one. Now, Pat, you've been in the league for a long time. When do you believe an identity gets established?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think you can start it in training camp, and then I think it takes a couple games to get it going.
So it's still early.
It's still early, yes.
For sure.
Yes.
The Bears are to be determined.
Yes, exactly.
But it's nice to have that 2-0 start. Blake Costanzo is along with Patrick Manley. I'm Zach Sabin. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Coming up next, you got to listen to the journey that Blake Costanzo took to end up in the NFL and specifically with the Chicago Bears. We'll discuss. We'll play GPS next right here on Bears All Access. I'm Zach Zaidman, joined by the veteran long snapper, the special teams captain, Patrick Manley, and another guy who plays like a captain. He's out there. You always see him on special teams, Blake Costanzo. This is Bears All Access, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows on the Chicago Bears network radio studios here at Hallis Hall. And what's interesting to me is when you talk about the journey that it took Blake to get here, he didn't go to a big-time ACC school like Pat. He didn't go to Duke, you know, and play some major college football.
Very true.
Where did you go? How did you end up here? Because in high school, you played in Jersey, right?
Yeah, I'm from Jersey. Proud of it.
So, and there's some good.
Isn't everybody from Jersey proud of it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I just had to say that.
Yeah, usually you guys are the only ones, but I'm not knocking you. You know, that's okay. You know, we had a guy here that named Greg Olson back in the day.
Interesting fact, I played against him twice in the state championship, and I was 2-0.
Really?
Versus Greg Olson, yeah.
Basically, that's the whole Olson family.
Yeah, beat him, his brother, and his dad. So, you know, just saying.
It's too bad he's not here.
Yeah.
That is interesting. So when you had a successful, I mean, that was a good high school that he went to.
Yeah.
So you have a successful high school career, and then the major colleges don't come calling.
Yeah, I guess they thought I was too small. I mean, I don't know. I think I'm a pretty big guy. But, I guess I don't know what happened. We had a transition. Our coach my senior year, he left to go coach with Coach Shiano at Rutgers. He actually coached Shiano at my high school. Greg Shannon went to my high school as well. So that kind of, it was the first year as a high school football coach. I don't know if he was up to par in the recruiting.
We had
a great team and only two guys played college football.
So Shiano missed out. He could have had you in his own backyard.
I know, man. Hey, Greg, man, I'm a free agent this year.
You're not the only one on this team, from what I understand. Now, here's the thing I don't get. So you don't get a chance to play major college football, but yet the smaller schools did come after you. Right.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? I probably would never have changed it. I got a chance to play a lot.
At Lehigh?
At Lafayette, man.
Lafayette. No, that was a joke. That was a joke.
So, yeah, it's a small school. It was only about like an hour away from where I grew up. And, you know, we got to play a ton. It was awesome because we actually changed the program. 2 years before I even got there, they were going to drop the football program. And then when we got there, we went to the first playoff game in school history my junior year and senior year, so we were the first team to kind of change the whole program around. So it was kind of cool we got to do that, and I wouldn't change it for a world. Some of my best friends are from that team still today.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is a good story. You've just overcome all odds. Where'd you go from there? You went from Lafayette, after Lafayette?
After Lafayette, I made my own highlight tape, and I was like, you know what, man, people were filling out job applications, and I was like, damn, man, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I don't know, I can't sit behind a desk. And my coach always was like, look, You can't get a regular job. Like, something wrong with you. You can't interact with just regular people. So I was like, all right, let me try this football. So I made my own highlight tape. One of our players wanted to be a strength trainer, afterwards. So he trained us, like Lafayette's like backfield, wood fields or whatever. And I sent out the highlight tape to all the, coaches that my coach might have known. Like, I literally got addresses in like this address book. And with like GM's names and stuff. And I just sent out like FedEx. I actually made a resume, but like a football resume.
Right.
And sent it out to a whole bunch of teams. And thank God Mike Westhoff saw me on tape and was like, hey, we'll get this guy in as a free agent with the New York Jets. So.
I'm just having this image of you at, back in the day, it would have been called Kinko's, right? Yeah. FedEx Kinko's. Like, were you out there like getting the special resume paper? Was it football color?
I had to go to my college library and like input like from a DVD of a PlayStation, input that from the gameplays into the computer, then like cut up all the highlights. It was a crazy process. I was there for like 8 hours, and I had one of my coaches helped me out with it too, but yeah, it was crazy. I was going all out for it.
So when this is going on, because at the time it's a dream, I mean, that's all you can hang on to. Did in the back of your mind did you think, well, if this doesn't work out, 'cause that's a lot of work, man, to put in for something that you don't know is gonna pay off.
You know what? Interestingly enough, in my head, I just thought I was going to play football. I mean, I always loved the game of football, and I just didn't feel like it was over for me. So I kind of just went all in and had a positive attitude about it.
Well, it's worked out.
I've been tricking people for a while. Yeah,
so. Yeah, but it took a while for Blake to get from that point here to Chicago to play for the Bears. And we're visiting with Blake Costanzo here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. So who was the first person to bite and say, hey, you know what? I see some talent here.
Yeah, I talked to the Jets. I talked to a couple coaches on the Ravens, and then the Jets actually gave me a shot. I went to training camp with them, and in training camp I was way back on the depth chart, and they drafted a linebacker, Anthony Schlegel, from Ohio State that year. And I was like, look, I just want to play in the games, whatever, special teams. So they're like, dude, go against the dude we drafted in the third round. So I went up to the assistant special teams coach. I'm like, look, put me against this guy. And I treated like every practice like it was a Super Bowl. I knocked them on the ground. I was throwing them.
You were that
back.
Guy.
I was that guy. And Coach Mangini at the time was like putting clips of me like destroying this guy in the team meeting. And then that gave me a shot to go out there and play. And then the rest was kind of history.
Now, wasn't Westhoff there?
Yeah, Mike Westhoff.
From Hard Knocks, a lot of people know that, man. That guy, he's salty.
He tells it like it is, man. Yeah. He also invented football, pretty much.
that's what he says, right?
Yeah. Like, I think we had a good return in the preseason, and him and Joe are good friends. And he called Joe. He's like, I invented that return, man. He invented every return, everything that has to do with special teams. But he's a good dude, man. Like another, I played for some great special teams coaches. I've been blessed over the years.
Yeah, you certainly have. So the Jets thing, how long are you there before?
I was there for a training camp. Then I broke my wrist. Then they sent me to NFL Europe. I played for the Rhein Fire in Germany.
Oh, man, can you imagine this guy in Germany?
It had to be
we
a
were rock stars.
I know, yeah.
I was like Urlacher in Germany, man.
Well, that was last year. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, don't go there.
So, it's like Kobe Bryant. All right, no, so then you must have played well, obviously.
Yeah, I played pretty well over there. I played defense, did well, played special teams, came back, got cut in training camp, then went to the Bills. They gave me a shot and then started playing well on teams, and then the rest was history.
Who was the special teams coach in Buffalo?
Bobby April.
One of my good friends
still today, man. I still talk to him.
Yeah, Dave Tobe, who used to be here last year as a special teams coordinator, would rave about Bobby April and the things he used to do in the league and still does. You know what I find interesting is that, remember that trip to London, Pat, that you guys took a couple of years ago, and the fans would cheer kickoffs.
They just wanted to see a ball kicked around. That's all they care about.
Robbie Gold was a rock star in London. Yeah. In Germany, what did they understand the game?
You know what? They tried. It was like more of like a party. You know, people, they brought, I swear to God, they brought drums in the stadium. You could bring drums. Whistles was the biggest thing. People were blowing whistles the entire game. So, like, we didn't even know what whistle
just was randomly
play to the whistle.
But literally, they would have, like, if there was a penalty, they'd have, like, a guy, like, grabbing a guy's shirt and, like, teaching him, like, well, this is a hold. Oh. And it'd be, like, on the big screen, like, to kind of teach them the game. So it was kind of interesting. It was a big party, though.
You know, I just, this fascinates me about Europe is that the fans have these little songs that they start singing in the middle of the game. In the U.S., you don't do that. Now, granted, there's Bear Down Chicago Bears, but that usually only happens if there's a victory at the end of the game, not during the game. But, and, like, there's a whole chorus that takes place.
Chant and sing.
Yeah, they know how to have fun, man.
Yeah, they definitely do know how to party. All right, we got to take a timeout. When we come back, Pat, you're going to love this. There's a special ritual that Blake uses before games that is interactive if you're visiting the stadium. We'll explain next. Zach Zabin, Patrick Manley, our special guest, Blake Costanzo for the hour here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Kids Club, brought to you by Papa John's, is here. Members have access to events, contests, opportunities to meet Bears players, chances to win Bears tickets, free pizza, and much more. Sign up at chicagobears.com/kidsclub. And it's interesting that we're mentioning the Kids Club because before every game at Soldier Field, if Blake Costanzo is around and you're a kid, man, do you get the best Kids Club moment ever. Zach Zabin, Patrick Manley, and Blake Costanzo, our guests for the hour here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Radio Studios here at Hallis Hall. And you know what I'm talking about, Pat.
I do.
When I mentioned that.
He warms me up before it. We have catch before.
I'm his bullpen throw.
Yeah.
So you guys come out of the tunnel. And, you know, even special – this is another thing that I find fascinating is that, you know, special teams players will start throwing the ball around even though you guys will never throw the ball around in an actual game. Defensive players do it. Does that help you?
I don't know. It gets me loose. I try to do it and run around, get your kind of just, I don't know. It's just been routine. I've done it since, I don't know, I guess my rookie year I started doing it.
I mean, everyone wants to be the quarterback, which I find interesting because I laugh because you never, in baseball, for example, an outfielder doesn't start to, you don't go into it like a pitcher's warm-up to warm up. It's just, it's interesting to me. But the reason I bring it up, so you guys start tossing around and playing catch, and then right after that, Blake will take the ball and walk to the stands as the fans are allowed in. And what do? Take it from there.
Yeah, just look for some kids or whoever wants to play catch, and I just throw the ball back and forth with the crowd.
You got the faces of the kids. Because, you're not talking about old kids. You're talking about, like, young kids that are, like, you know, like 5 to 10 in that neighborhood. And the football, I mean, you throw it hard. So it fascinates
me. Have you hit anybody yet?
No, but honestly, there's been some guys, like, in the upper deck, I threw it. Even some, I don't want to get anyone in trouble, but even some, like, the security guys I throw, like, some bombs to there in, like, the stands. But, like, a lot of times I go up to them, like, and they, like, get, like, scared. I'm like, no, let's play catch, man. Like, they don't understand it, but it's cool.
When I was a kid, I went to one of these baseball clinics, and Mookie Wilson, former New York Met, was, he's playing catch. So he picks me out. I'm, you know, a little kid. I kind of, same height I am right now. And I took the, I was probably, like, 10 years old, and I took the glove, you know. And you try to throw it as hard as you possibly can because you're dealing with a professional here. So, you know, I put everything into this throw. He caught it. And then it looked like he just flicked his wrist. And the sound of the ball, it just went, you know, and it hit my glove. Man, my palm was killing me. And I think that's what happens when you play with these kids.
Man, I hope not. I try to be accommodating to them. But, it's a great time. I actually have probably more fun than they do.
The first time I saw it, I thought that was like, that's a cool tradition. And then the kids, they do. They're smiling huge. It's just they get to throw a ball with a bear.
No one else does that. You know,
you never see that.
Yeah, it was cool, man. I like I said, it's probably more fun than the kids probably.
Now, when you were a kid, did you ever get a chance to go to an NFL game?
No.
See? So, I mean, imagine that. Yeah. You know, it's not only just going to the game, but then you get to play catch with a guy who's going to be playing.
That's... Show up early, people. You might get a chance to.
Yeah, man, show up early. Bring the kids.
Do you do it on the road, too?
Yeah, actually, I do it on the road, but I try to just limit it to Bear fans.
See, and they're always on the road.
Yeah, they're always on the road. That's what I'm saying.
Speaking of the road, as we transition now to some of the football stuff, Patrick Mandley's here. I'm Zach Sabin, Blake Costanzo, our guest here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. This is the first real road test. Man, you talk about a test. Pittsburgh, tough place to play.
Yeah, I think I've played there twice, the old Three River Stadium, and then now, and then Heinz Field.
Wow.
And I think I'm 0-2 there, so it is a tough place to play. Kind of reminds me of Chicago. It's just a, you know, old, tough town that it's just a tough place to play. I think people have a tough time when they come to Chicago and play.
And that's, the wind also, because it's an open-air stadium right near a body of water, and weird things happen, as we know, along the lakefront here in Chicago when you have that kind of element.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game. Sunday night, primetime, Bears, Steelers, that's going to be...
Blue
it's going to be fun.
Teams.
Yeah, two blue collar. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, very similar teams, long, historic, all that kind of stuff. Now, do you guys spend a lot of time when you're not in the game kind of analyzing what's going on with the Bears offense and defense? What does a special teamer do during those breaks?
I become a fan. I do. I just become a fan. And then I hope we don't punt. I keep hoping for first downs. I want to kick field goals or PATs. That's what I'm hoping for every time.
Because I'm guessing, Blake, you're a little different because just your mentality is to just attack someone.
Yeah. I mean, I'm out there getting pissed. I'm like, oh, we're on 1 yard line. Run the ball. Like, I'm going crazy. Yeah. No, like Buddy Pat said, I'm like a fan, man. I love watching our defense play, to tell you the truth. Watching those guys is, like, inspiring to me. So, and they just have so much fun doing it that, you know, whenever they're out there, I'm watching.
That's what gets me is this, you know, they'll make a big hit and get up and laugh.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they just start laughing. Lance will be laughing.
Yeah.
And they're just having a blast. They're hugging, dancing, and, yeah, it's fun to watch. And our offense is definitely more fun to watch.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, yeah, that to me is, and Lance Briggs said it earlier in the week. He talked about how the biggest difference, and he started saying compared to last year, and then he said, no, actually, for the whole time that I've been here, and Briggs has been a Bear since 2003, is that now you feel as though when the offense has the ball and needs to put points on the board, you're going to get that.
So last Sunday, I felt extremely confident when we got the ball back. I mean, and then we got down to the 30-yard line, and I asked Jay this. I said, I mean, how do you feel when you got Brandon Marshall on one side, Alshon Jeffrey on the other, and Martellus Bennett in the middle? I mean, that's a tough team to defend.
Good job, Phil.
Yeah.
talking
about general manager Phil Emery, who was put the team together. I think Mark Trestman said that after the game. You know, he was thanking Phil Emery. Because you think about the mismatches that they're creating.
Yeah,
it's almost as though you sacrificed a little bit of speed on offense in order to get just big size, your quarterback, you don't have to be as accurate. Just get the ball up there, and these basketball players make plays.
Well, Alshon looked pretty fast on that reverse.
He did, yeah, didn't he?
That kind of surprised me. That's a long stride.
He's a big dude.
Yeah. Why is it so hard, by the way, to make a reverse like that successful?
I think just the speed out there. I mean, Blake probably knows it better playing defense, but I think it's just, right, the angles and the speed, people can catch up to it.
No doubt.
We got to take a timeout. Soon, when we come back, though, we're gonna do that. I just want to play the game because you got Blake here. By the way, Blake played. Are you a Bears Authority last year, right?
It's
here
easy.
on the show, and with again Israel Adonijé, one of the smartest
He's
guys
good,
you'll
yeah.
meet, and
yeah.
it was a very competitive game. Let's do it. Let's take the break here to give us because I have a feeling we're gonna have quite the battle royale coming up between Patrick Vadeley and Blake Costanzo. In our little trivia contest, stick around. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's, featuring Jeff Joniak and the Bears coaching staff, airs Monday nights at 6:30 on WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows.
Man, he's going to be taking my job before all is said
Nailed
and done.
It.
Patrick Mandley.
That was beautiful.
He does more than long snap, I'll tell you that.
That was good.
Yeah, he's a radio superstar. Very nice job, Pat. Blake Costanzo along.
Three.
Zach Sabin, this is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. We're broadcasting from the Chicago Bears Network Radio Studios here at Hallis Hall. Are you ready? Are you ready for this?
I am. But my buzzer's, it's a longer arm length away than Blake's is, so I'm already at a handicap.
Yeah, but your rib's fine. Don't worry about it. I mean, there are no excuses.
You're
right.
I see a bruise on your arm. Where'd you get the bruise from, dude?
I don't know. I think I hit somebody.
Wow.
Or I got hit. I probably got hit.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, he goes into his zone on game.
You know, when you're that old, you like wake out of bed in the morning. Probably get bruised up.
I do. Or my wife beat me.
So he'll be on the injury report this week?
Yeah, with a bruise.
Yeah, bruise left forearm.
Man, the way you guys hit to me, on the receiving end of those hits, I don't know sometimes how you get back up. You especially, Blake.
You know what wasn't that? You know, they had the 63 championship?
Yeah, 50 years ago, the 63
I was like,
champions.
You know, and like they were out there and it was kind of cool. It was like, yeah, we got to meet him and stuff. But like, dude, like there were like six of them in wheelchairs, man.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I hope we don't end up like that.
Yeah. To make you feel better, Dick Butkus was there. He started playing 2 years after the championship with the Bears and got a chance to interview him right before kickoff. Scared the daylights out of me. Man, he's so intimidating.
One of the guys shook my hand. He almost broke my hand still.
Yeah.
He said he was, I don't know how old he was, but I was like, geez.
Yeah. It's one of the guys that.
Tough, man.
Ed Obradovich, who works at the score, number 87.
That's the guy.
Yeah. Strongest grip.
Dude, that's
ever.
The guy.
Yeah.
87.
He does not mess around.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, yeah. That's good, though.
No, because, those, you know, they don't make them like that anymore. Those guys are truly paved the way for us, man.
They built it.
Champions. Champions. And they won. They were the last team to win a championship with George Halas as head coach.
Wow.
I mean, that's pretty historic.
That's awesome.
All right, let's play Are You a Bears Authority? It's brought to you by Sports Authority. It's the highest rated segment on the show because it gets so competitive. Here's how we play. I ask a question. If you know the answer, hit the buzzer right in front of you really hard, though, so that way we can hear it over the radio. And the person that hits the buzzer gets an opportunity to answer the question. If you get it right, we move on to the next question. It's a best of seven. If you get it wrong, the other player has an opportunity to answer the question. And you guys are playing for a fan, and that fan gets an opportunity to win a Sports Authority gift certificate. Patrick, you're going to be playing for Marsha Zielinski from Chicago, and Blake, you're playing for Amanda Miller of Chicago.
All right, Amanda.
Yeah, there you go. And if you're listening right now, you want to sign up for future game with some of our guys here, all you have to do is go to chicagobears.com/CBN and click on the Bears All Access page where you can also listen to all of our shows. You guys ready for this?
Yes.
All right, let's begin the festivities. Question number one, we go to the defensive side of the ball. How many interceptions does Charles Tillman need to tie the Bears record for career picks? At 38.
How many more does he need?
How many more does he need? Patrick.
Oh, let's say three.
Wow. Good job. How about that?
Good guess.
He had no idea. He just guessed.
That's like returning the opening kickoff.
Yeah, Gary Fensick has the record. Peanut has 35 wow. interceptions.
And he has the most return yardage, too, right?
He's not in Bears history. Yeah. Yeah. And he also has 9 billion forced fumbles.
Yeah,
in all seriousness, you know what's amazing about that is if you look at the list of all the guys that lead the league in forced fumbles since Charles Tillman entered the NFL.
DNs.
All DNs are, linebacker. No one in the secondary.
I got a trivia question for you real quick. Who recovered his first forced fumble?
Am I looking at him?
You got it.
How about that? Patrick Manley on the receiving end of history. Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
All right, question two. By the way, he was the guy who made the corner roll famous, you know, on the kick blocking unit. Yeah. Now Devin Hester, I noticed, playing a little bit of a role. So, and speaking of Devin Hester, he's part of question number two.
Oh,
ready?
Oh,
all right.
Geez,
Hester had a punt return touchdown in his first ever NFL game in 2006. Who was the opponent that day?
Oh, man. I played in that game. I don't even know who we played.
Three, two.
We guess there's no consequences, right?
Yeah.
No consequence rule.
hey.
You got to smack it.
All right. You
got
to hit it hard.
There you go. We got it.
Blake Costanzo gets an opportunity to answer the question.
It was 2006, right?
It was 2006.
Yeah. I would say it's Detroit Lions.
Incorrect.
Minnesota Vikings.
I cannot believe you got that wrong.
I can't remember who we played.
The Green Bay Packers. I think
you guys
won the game 26-0.
I totally know that game now.
There's
too many of them. There's 230-something games. They're all jumbled
come
up
on.
In my
How
head.
Do you not remember that game? Lovie Smith, right?
Dang it.
I mean, that was a huge
now
deal.
Now I remember
man.
That one. That was a big, big win.
That was good.
I breezed by that one. Good.
Yeah, I mean, you guys went to
the Super
Bowl.
I was thinking Minnesota because he's got like 8 against Minnesota.
Yeah, that was. Remember, the Bears had a first round pick that year. They traded down to get a couple of extra picks. In the second round, they take Danielle Manning, who ended up being a key contributor when Mike Brown got hurt in 2006. Devin Hester, who was just unbelievable that year. Mark Anderson was another player. And the reason I bring that up is this year, you guys are getting some immediate impact contributions from some rookies. So generally, good things happen when that happens. All right. Basically, here's the way we look at it. Right now, Patrick Manley has a 1-0 lead over Blake Costanzo. Question number three. It's still a tight game. We go back to defense. What year did Bears linebacker James Anderson get drafted? Blake.
07.
Incorrect.
Oh, let's go.
I know it.
three, two.
06.
Correct.
Jeez, yes, man, good guess.
Oh, man, it was my year, 06.
Man. Yeah,
what 2000. Am I doing?
Yeah, man. But you were not drafted. You took a much harder route to get here than the.
No, I was opposite of drafted. I paid them a signing bonus for giving me a shot.
But it worked. Hey, by all means necessary. All right, so right now Patrick leads 2-0 here in the game. It's a best of seven. Question number four. Name the only player on the current Bears 53-man roster whose last name begins with the letter L.
L?
L.
Long. Kyle Long.
Patrick Manley gets the question right and has taken a commanding 3-0 lead. So here's what's got to happen for Blake Costanzo to give Amanda Miller a shot at winning this Sports Authority
Amanda.
Gift certificate. He's got to get the next three right and then force overtime.
All right.
Here we go.
Jeez, Pat.
He's a 16-year veteran. Question five. Name the only Bears player on the current roster who played his college ball at Sam Houston State.
That Patrick. Is Jake. I mean, McCown.
The last name is correct. We'll give you
Jake.
The answer. I mean, who is Jake?
He got that?
Yeah.
Jake McCown. That's his brother.
No, that's Luke McCown. There are a lot of McCowns.
I got it all. Yeah. He's got another brother.
Amanda. My bad, Amanda.
So Marcia Zelensky from Chicago wins the gift certificate to Sports Authority. Congratulations. Tremendous job. Send Patrick Manley a thank you card in the mail. He'll really appreciate it. And Blake, just keep fighting. That's what you do, man.
Hey,
man. You know, don't stop. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, I want to talk about something that Blake Costanzo does away from the football field that is so cool. You might have seen it on Twitter because he posts a picture every week about something new, and it's really, really cool. So we'll talk about that next right here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. When the Bears get a takeaway this season, you will get a free Red's Tavern Double with purchase at Red Robin Restaurant. So watch the Bears game and then visit Red Robin, the home of Tavern Double Tuesday. Speaking of takeaways, the last game against the Vikings ended on a takeaway that many people don't probably think of as a major play in that game, but it was Zach Zabin, Patrick Manley, along with the guy who's responsible for that takeaway on special teams, Blake Costanzo. With 3 seconds to go, you made the play that literally sealed the deal.
I guess so. I mean, yeah, it was a pretty fun play. I had fun on that one. You know, we don't get too many opportunities with Robbie kicking the ball out of the end zone. So anytime we get a chance to go out and make play. But like I said, Sherrick was down there. He had a guy wrapped up and was kind of slinging him down to the ground. And I was just running up from behind, and I seen the ball out. And we practiced it every day on defense, so I just grabbed it. And I tried to score.
How far did you go?
I got 15 yards, man. I think Weems was trying to tackle me for some reason.
I was laughing. I was like, what are you trying to cover, the spread or something?
Yeah, my cousin was telling me. He's like, man, you should have got a touchdown. And I was like, dang. But, I was trying to score, man. Why not?
Oh, yeah. Jody Camillus told him to get down next time.
Yeah.
But it was fun watching you do that. Yeah. But it was funny because you just see it, and it's like Blake doesn't go for the guy. He goes, just tackles the ball and ripped it out. And like you said, 3 seconds, I've seen crazy things happen. And for that to end the game that way, that's good. They don't put the ball back in their hands because anything can happen.
I forgot to ask you this because there were so many things that happened in that game that were good things for special teams, but you give up a return touchdown. So what's it like in the meeting room the day after the game? Is there a sense, you know, because
Joe's pissed.
Yeah. Right.
Now we were all mad about it too. I mean, actually, that was the first time in my career, I kind of jinxed myself, that I've ever been on the field for a return touchdown against a coverage unit. But you know what? A couple things happened. You know, a couple of us didn't do our job, and me included. And they made a play. They get paid too. But the best thing we did was come back, and we had a great rest of the game. And we actually we helped the team, you know, get good field position to help us win. So that's all you can ask for. As long as we got the W, man, we'll move on to the next one.
Yeah, getting the W makes the meetings a lot easier.
For sure.
If we would have lost and had that happen, it would have been a little bit louder, a little bit more direct.
Yeah.
Pat, the last time you guys, and it's a long time ago, I think 2010, the last time you guys gave up a kick return touchdown to Dez Bryant, you won that game too.
Mm. time.
I didn't know that.
So,
good stat.
You know, it's not necessarily the end of
the
world.
We don't need to do that more often. No, I don't want to do that anymore. But
no more.
Interesting.
Yeah, see, again, when you have Devin Hester on your team, when stuff like that happens, not necessarily the end of the world.
No.
But yeah, you definitely do not want to let that happen. All right, so if you follow Blake Costanzo on Twitter, every week, it seems as though, usually on the off days, there's a picture of some vintage car that pops up with Costanzo doing some weird cool guy jersey pose in front of him, right?
That's exactly right.
And then, so last week, you guys spent a couple of days practicing inside the Walter Payton Center. And, you know, the media gets herded in there at the end of practice as you guys get an opportunity to talk to us and share all your football stories. But on the way there, there's this huge pickup truck, right? Like one of those Sunday cars. And with a huge American flag kind of on the back there. That was what car was it?
That's
what pickup truck?
That's actually a 64 El Camino.
Wow.
Yeah, it was all jacked up. I found it in a barn out in Wisconsin. And
you helped build it, right?
Yeah, well, actually, we'd modified it. It was kind of like jacked up like that, but it was all. And yeah, we put the big tires on there. We actually spray painted it like a military green.
Yeah.
And we welded the flag on it. I needed an American flag in there to have some pride for our country. But actually, that's Pat's dream car.
I love El Caminos. 1970 El Camino. That's the one. If my wife's listening, you know, I keep begging her that I want one, but. She doesn't want one in the driveway.
Yeah. So I said for his 50th, I'm going to get him one.
That's pretty cool.
He'll probably still be playing.
Do you think you will play at 50?
Probably not. No, there's a good chance now.
If he's playing at 50, then I want whatever he's eating.
Yeah, he's not 40 yet. You know, give him a little bit of time.
Yeah,
but
true.
I know that's got to be a goal to get to 40 and still play, right?
Yeah, it's just it is.
The goal is just to get to the next day.
It's to get out of bed. Yeah, that's the way. Nah, we'll see. It's just, you know, it's game by game now. I'm lucky enough to play this long, and we'll see where it goes.
So when you go and find these cars, and we're with Blake Costanzo here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, do you just randomly see them parked on the street, or do you go to, like, a junkyard?
Well,
or
the first one I got, I've always wanted a Chevelle, a 70. It's similar to the El Camino, and that was, like, my dream car.
That's the black one, right?
Yeah, the black one. And, you know, we rebuilt it last year. I found a guy up in Grays Lake. His name's Pete. He does an awesome job, and you know, I helped him every day after practice. I'd drive over there and, you know, teach me little things to do on it. And that's my little baby that's at home in my garage right now.
You don't drive it too often. That is your baby. That's
yeah.
It's going to be perfect weather.
Exactly. Yeah, put a lot of time in. But it's at home. My dad wanted to enjoy it, so I shipped it back home.
Oh, that's pretty cool. See, the way you made it sound, it's like Danielson from Karate Kid, where you go there with the vintage cars and you're doing the whole wax on, wax off thing.
Shoot, man, I learned how to do everything. I was like cutting metal, man, doing body work, sandblasting frames, painting. I learned a lot of stuff, man. It's kind of cool just to get away.
Isn't it exhausting, though?
I enjoy it. I mean, my dad's always tough. I've always done yard work, and I can't sit still, obviously. So it's good to go out there and you know, physically work hard and, you know, to see what the results of it is.
We got to take a time out here real quick, but I want you guys to chew on this as we head to the break, and we'll get the answer. Who's got the coolest car? Mm-hmm. On the Bears? In that 53-man locker room, who's got the coolest car, and who's got the car that they don't want to be seen around in that thing in public? We'll discuss next with Patrick Manley and Blake Costanzo on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, broadcasting from the Chicago Bears Network Radio Studios here at Hallis Hall, along with Patrick Manley. I'm Zach Seidman. Our final few moments here with Blake Costanzo. So when we last left you before the commercial break, I wanted you guys to think about who has the coolest car out of all the players. Hey, it might be Phil Emery for all we know, but and who's got the kind of car where you have to do a double take, like that guy's driving that. I'll give you an example. Kyle Orton, who used to be the starting quarterback of the Bears, drove a Prius.
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy here for a while, a defensive tackle named Alfonso Boone. Funny guy. One day showed up at training camp in a Mini Cooper, and we're talking about a defensive big, huge man, you know, had to crawl his way out of that Mini Cooper. So stuff like that.
All right, my favorite car was Forte, or what does he have? Is that
a Raptor?
No, the sports car. Is that a Ferrari?
Ferrari.
Yeah, that thing's my favorite one. In there.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
He's got a nice red Ferrari.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet looking.
Yeah.
See, that's like the epitome of cars.
Yeah, that's Ferrari.
Red Ferrari, man.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, during the break, Blake's telling me about, I love the vintage cars. I don't like the new stuff, but a Ferrari's a Ferrari.
Yeah, I'd drive it for a day. I'd take it out. I take it downtown, Lakeshore.
And who's got the funkiest or the weirdest store, you know?
Shoot, man.
I don't know. I don't know that. Peanut's got the Impala, the old Impala. Yeah. The blue Impala was kind of nice.
Yeah, it looks like a Mexican mafia, like Impala, yeah, like yeah. Dropped low ride. Like Garza should be driving it. Right? Yeah, if Garza got at it, I'd be scared.
With the hydraulics?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
See, you always learn something new about the Bears with these guys here on Bears All Access. All right, so there are a couple of things that I want to hit from around the NFL, because 2 weeks in, do you kind of get the sense of the way this year is going to go? Not necessarily for you guys, but, you know, in terms of how the new rules are playing out, in terms of what's going to decide this season that maybe is different from the last couple of years. You know, every year is on its own in the NFL.
I don't know. The biggest thing with now, they've already got so many 400-yard passers. I think this the rules, that's just helped passing. You know, the passing game's changed. I don't know. What do you see, Blake?
Yeah, I mean, I see the same thing. And if they start changing any more rules, man, they better not call it football anymore. I mean, geez. It's like, it's crazy, man, all these rules. They better call it something. They call it something else, I guess. But I don't know. I think it's cool. I think it's cool that there's no really dominant team out there. And that's an awesome thing for the fans and for every team, because every team's got a shot every week, and you just go out there and play hard, and you know you got a shot.
It was a lot of close games. I think it's record close games or whatever.
Yeah.
But, Coach Trestman always talks. It's 58 minutes plus 2 minutes.
Yeah. What does that mean? Because isn't it always 60 minutes?
I mean, but it comes down to that 2 minute drive, like it did last week.
No,
you know, that's what it means. It's just that 2 minute drive is huge. Teams are so equal as far as talent wise that. It comes down to the last 2 minutes, and if you can execute.
It's all about the fourth quarter, because he said earlier this week that you seldom see blowouts in the NFL. They happen, but rare. Mm-hmm. So most games come down to execution in the fourth quarter, and that's how you're able to win a game when things aren't going your way and you're turning the ball over more than you're getting it back. And, you know, last week's a perfect example. But that's at home. You're mm-hmm. supposed to win at home.
Yes.
When you go on the road, there are things this week that some of your younger players are going to experience that they haven't before. Can you kind of shed light on what those things are going to be?
It's just going to be just the hostile atmosphere, and going to Pittsburgh was definitely hostile. That's the different thing. The other thing will be a night game. It'll be different. It'll be like preseason, but it's a regular season night game. That's to me is the travel's different, you know, not staying in your own hotel, you know, having to put on a suit and all that kind of stuff, but there's just little things. It's just that are different.
Do you change anything about the practice times this week or the way you go about practice to prepare for the road?
No, everything will be the same.
It's all about the routine.
Yes.
That's the biggest thing. But it's going to be hard for some of these young guys to get sleep. I mean, when you know the whole nation's watching you, man.
Yeah, but they'll get it. They'll be all right. I think you get more excitement that way.
Yeah.
I don't think it's harder to play. What do you think, Blake? I mean, that's
remember your first primetime game?
Yeah. I mean, you live for that moment. I mean, all these guys, they worked hard and to be in that primetime game. Actually, I played in that division. So one of my favorite things at that field is they play the Styx Renegade song. I don't know. Have you guys ever been there for that? I get pumped up for that, and I'm not even, you know, in Pittsburgh. So I'm ready for that. That gets me going when I hear that.
Yeah, that was his Bears-Packers. It was Browns-Steelers, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but, yeah, I think these guys are going to be ready. I think it's going to be exciting, and I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Pat played before the days of
TV,
you know, text messaging and all that kind of stuff. You know, he had to actually send it.
Rotary phone. Didn't go that far back.
There was a Morse code from all of his buddies back home. Hey, we saw you on the television. Good stuff. All right, good luck this Sunday against the Steelers. Going to be another tough game for the Bears, who are looking to go to 3-0. Always fun visiting with Blake Costanzo. For Patrick Manley, I'm Zach Zabin. Want to thank our executive producer, Greg Miller, and Paul Zarang, who helped us blast through the speakers of your radio, and everyone in our downtown studios. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United.